There's a Chrome extension that helps you figure out where your UI is going. You just have to click and drag. It's a little Chrome extension and it lets you redesign your UI on the page. It's really worth a try. So say hello to our guests. We're kicking it off now. Keep listening and we'll tell you what FizzBug's all about. Welcome to Tools Day, a podcast about tech tools, tips and tricks, every other Tuesday at 2. I'm your co-host, Yuna.
And I'm Chris.
And today we're talking... Oh, today we have a guest. I just said that in my song. I was like, oh, wait. Today we have a guest. His name's Adam Argyle. What a cool name. Hi, Adam.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me on the show. I have a surprise for you.
Okay.
I might have brought an ukulele.
Another ukulele player! Uh-huh.
I was like, I love that intro. Magic. It's so cute. I kind of want to contribute. So I wrote down like 6 words, and we'll see how I can make up an intro kind of about myself and a little bit about FizzBug.
I'm so excited.
Here we go. Thanks for having a dork on the show. I just want people to fork the code.
Oh my god, yes.
I'm a little bit of a fool. But I'm smart enough to make a design tool. Yes. I think this show's gonna be a real treat. Oh, let's see, wrong chord. And the tool is really quite neat. I just gotta show this tool, I want you to know. It's a dream to be on this awesome show. I hope that you can join us on GitHub and contribute. It doesn't rhyme though. Thank you.
I feel like I need to bring out my guitar or my keyboard and just also sing a song now. I'm out of the loop. Gosh.
Back in the day, it was around this time of year in 2015 when me and Chris both worked at IBM. He brought out a guitar and we wrote a little song.
Let's play that clip. Fun. This would be where on a TV show they're like, let's play the clip.
Yeah. Yeah, Chris, do you want to cut the clip into
here? I'll clip in some audio. It'll be great.
No way.
Awesome. Okay, so. Another pull request. I'm forking all your code. Please give me 2 thumbs up. I copied someone's node. And make the best of these tools and just don't ask why. React, Ember, Backbone, Angular, D3, and Pi? What's next is unpredictable, but in the end it's still not right. I hope you still have time for a life. I hope that you're back now from that clip. I'm so excited for the show. Adam's awesome. And today we're definitely going to be talking about a Chrome extension that he created that lets you like design on the page. It's really impressive. We talked about it during our last show where we mentioned it, and during the show I downloaded it and started to use it, and you could hear my reaction. If you're curious to hear my first impressions of the tool, check out our last episode. Before we get too far into it, I do want to say thank you to this show's sponsor. And this show's sponsor is Datadog. Datadog is a software as a service-based monitoring platform that provides dev and ops teams with a unified view of all their systems, apps, and services. You'll be a part of thousands of organizations who already rely on Datadog to collect, visualize, and alert them of abnormalities. There are over 200 turnkey integrations, including AWS, Postgres, Kubernetes, and Slack, all done out of the box with custom metrics to gain full stack observability with a unified view of all of your systems, apps, and services. Other key features include real-time visibility from customizable dashboards, algorithmic alerts like anomaly detection, outlier detection, forecasting alerts, end-to-end request tracing to visualize app performance, and real-time collaboration. Datadog is offering listeners a free trial, and as an added bonus for signing up and creating a dashboard, they'll send you a free t-shirt. And funny thing, talking about t-shirts, we all ended up getting the same t-shirt that says CSS on it from Adios Mani's like little web shop, so... maybe we'll link to that, the show notes, because we were just talking about it before the show started.
T-shirts all around.
Yeah. But if you want your Datadog t-shirt and your free trial, you can go to datadog.com/toolsday. That's datadog.com/toolsday. Again, that's datadog.com/toolsday.
I have a Datadog shirt.
You have a Datadog shirt?
I do. I have one. Set it up at a startup that I had. And it was great. In fact, I think it has front-end monitoring, and it's really robust. Anyway, I remember liking it. So, Datadog, you're not paying me. I love you, and your shirt is cool.
There you go. You've heard from someone who loves it, so cool. I want to talk about the tool that you built, which did you launch it
at Chrome Dev Summit?
I launched it. Well, that had been sort of like dog-fooded internally. Yeah, I think I had 50, 60 users internally. I was like, designers, come over here. Hey, UX writer, come over here. Try out my weird thing I made. What do you want from it? And yeah.
I feel like they snuck it in to the end of that keynote. So I didn't watch it live. I was just kind of recapping it for our show last week. Like, oh, hey, wait, this random tool announcement. It was so cool. So
yeah, I saw it on Twitter too, but I didn't actually click into it until Chris was like, you know, you should check this out. And then I did. And then now you're here.
I don't blame you for being skeptical. You're like, design in the browser? No way.
No, because honestly, I've seen so many tools that claim to do this. And I think the first thing I said was like, yeah, like, cool, you can change what it says in the page. Like, that's content editable. Like, you could change the color. But I hadn't seen a tool that lets you truly move things around on the page. And that, to me, was the coolest part. But I want you to tell us a little bit about what it does from your own words.
Awesome. Yep, can do. And stop me if I start rambling, because I get super stoked. I'm like, I'm taking this huge breath. No.
I love it.
it's sort of like I wanted it to start with some basics. I was like, look, it's so annoying that I'm getting these weird Jira tickets, that this dumb little stuff they want. Or I would sit down with designers, and honestly, this is like my favorite thing to do, but they'd be like, nudge the font. And I'm like, your wish is my command. Right? And it's like live reloads on their screen. But at the end of the day, the end of the day, I was like, why can't they do this themselves? I mean, I empathize with the dev tools. It is a big, heavy thing, right? It's sort of like omni-capable. And so it started out, and since like weekend, I was like, I just want people to be able to click stuff and change the font size and adjust margin and padding. I was like, if I could do that, I actually conquer most of the requests that I get from designers, and then they can work asynchronously instead of synchronously. And just kind of snowballed from there. I started doing research of what other designers were installing in terms of Chrome extensions. Got inspired by those. I'm inspired by accessibility. I was like inspired in stereo. There was just so many things. Like, they were like, you should do this. So yeah, I wanted to democratize the DOM where it felt off limits to anyone who wasn't a dev, which is stupid. It's totally a piece of paper and it doesn't feel like one. Like, that was lame. I wanted designers to make more decisions. Like, I love making design decisions. I'm a front end dev. I end up making them in silence a lot, right? It's like, ooh, nobody talked about this requirement. I better just go ahead and solve it.
That's why I'm a developer now, because I was like, those are the people who really have the power, the final say.
It's seriously true. And so that was something I was trying to reverse, or I just wanted collaboration to get better. So I was like, how do I get them in there? How do I leverage as much as they know about design tools and put it in the browser? And just like, you know, some stuff will be a little weird because it's not the same environment. But I should make it so that they could at least get tasks done at a basic level.
And then, okay, so I have a question here. Yeah. To me, I thought this was just like a little prototyping tool where you can move things around, change text, change colors. There's a lot of cool features in the toolbar, but you're talking about like actually contributing code. Does this save out code for developers to use, or is it just like a prototype so they can open a ticket and you can physically see what they want?
Such a good question. I feel like I should have just started with the common questions, because this tool, Vizbug, is called Vizbug because it's inspired by Firebug. Firebug being the first dev tool we ever got like 10 years ago, and it just blew our minds as we could like inspect HTML. I wanted that for designers. I was like, designers need a Firebug. So what I'm getting at is how to get the code out. You can get the code out that you've manipulated, and it pretty much happens in the same way that happens in the dev tools now. You copy paste strings. So everyone's like, how do I get my work out? I'm like, yeah, same way you do it now. It's kind of crude, even though it's fully, you know, think of just how adjusted we are to that workflow. Oh, no, I'll just copy it out of the DevTools and paste it in my file.
I'll say that for me, you know, I've started using this with one of my designers. And for me, it was nice because, generally what happens if we're comparing design to what I've produced, like, I'm running the screen. With Vizbug, designer ran the screen for some of the stuff, which was kind of cool. Like, oh, this is an interesting reversal of roles. And so that was kind of a cool little experience I had with extension.
I think a lot of the time too, designers, like, they use tools like Sketch because it's easier to physically move things around on the page to see what it feels like, even just to prototype it. But now they can use your actual product to do that with. So they don't have to recreate it in Sketch, and that's a pain.
Yeah. I mean,
so I love
I call those uncanny artboards. because I'm like, that sucks to manage, right? Like, you have to recreate production, and which is usually worse than your original design file. So you're like downgrading your work just so that you can like fudge it to make a little change. That sucks. So yeah, you're right. You can go straight to production or prototype or staging or a little, it's like if there's markup there. You can get your thought out in the moment and vet it, right? You could be live in front of a client. You could have a client that's like, well, I don't like that color blue. And you're like, oh, yeah, it's green. It's better blue, right? You could like, you can nip. There's like so many things you can nip in the bud, like right there.
Yeah, that was exactly my experience, because like some of our data is really bad internally. And so like we'll have this nice UI and it'll come out in production or in our staging environment and it looks nothing like the design, not nothing like, but like there's like these variants because we have like these 500 long character chaos names or something, right? Chaos, exactly. And so being able for, you know, for my designer to say, I'm going to nudge it here while we were just sitting next to each other, that was really cool. So
yeah, that's another good point, because I feel like that's one of my biggest challenges too, working with designers on my team. So I work at a media publication, and you know, you can't really account for the titles to all look nice and be the same length, but when they do sketch designs, they often will create like nice, perfect UIs that don't actually exist in the real world. Like, yeah. So like, you know, author names can be long. You could have two author names. You could have really short author names. There's all those things that come out in your actual content and data that you can now access and as a designer manipulate, rather than having to either account for that in your static sketch file or not account for it at all and then like have surprises when you see the final product.
I mean, there are so many opportunities for you. I have a friend that works at Etsy, and they were telling me about their workflow the other day, and I was like, why don't you just go to the homepage, drag in an image that's the new product, type in your copy that you want, and try it on prod in 5 seconds. The workflow that they're doing now is totally backwards.
The other thing I
love
about this is these like built-in accessibility features. And
okay, more's coming too.
Okay, first of all, I love that it has like color contrast, shows you like AA, small, AAA, like what the color is with the background, which exists in DevTools, but now, you know, developers and designers specifically, I mean, don't have to like click in and open DevTools and like putz around with that, open up the toolbars that, you know, we all know and love. This is like a tool they can just hover over and get that information. And then also like getting color information. I have a desktop extension called SIP I used for
I
that.
I like it, yeah.
And then I love SIP, but the new version is paid, and I'm just like, oh, it wasn't before.
Pay for my tools?
I totally pay for it, but I feel like that would be a blocker for a lot of people when it wasn't before.
It's so typical for design tools to be paid.
I don't know if I would have
started. It's so unfair.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. Like, we expect our tools to be free, unfortunately, and I don't think if it wasn't free originally, I would have downloaded it.
I agree. And real quick, too, because it's really common with people in VisBug to think that the hue shift tool is the only way to manipulate color. It's not. You have traditional pickers. They're just underneath the bar. They're text color, background color, and border color. You click those, you get it. You get your OS X color picker, and you can – anyway, just a small little thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, maybe we should back up a bit and say, like, what are your like top four favorite features?
Oh man, the ones that I use all the time. Okay, so you click something in VisBug and you get the little label above there that says the class name and its node name and stuff. You can click those values in that label and it will expand your selection. So if you selected a paragraph that's called lead, let's just say we're in Bootstrap, you know, 10 years ago. P.lead, right? Ooh, wait, my brain knows that. If you were to click lead, it would go find all the leads on the page, and then you could hit F for the font tool, and you hit up on your arrow key, and you just bumped up the font size of all the lead paragraphs.
Ooh.
I do that type of thing. It's like bread and butter with VisBug. You select something, you expand the selection using the little handy classes in there, you hit one of the tools, and you manipulate things in like a massive way. It's really fun. Another one that I do all the time is, double click text to edit it. I drag in images all the time because that's really easy. But honestly, my favorite tool.
You can drag in images?
Oh, you could do a few cool things.
There's so much I don't
know. So, if you can just drag an image over another image and replace it, you can drag an image onto the page and it will try to find a background image in nodes around where you're hovering. So it will hot swap background images. Or it gets better. You can multi-select a whole bunch of images and then go to your finder and drag in a whole bunch and it will fill them out. If you don't have enough images, it'll just repeat them. And if you have too many, it'll just stop. It's like this really fun, like, That's what I mean. Like, you could literally go to Etsy's homepage and be like, my product, my product, my product, and just have fun, like, just drag them in.
This is so cool. Like, the more I'm learning about it, there's these features that I didn't realize existed, like this drag and drop. This is, I definitely would just recommend whoever's listening to play with it and check it out. Is there a guide, like a documentation guide for people follow to up. Kind of
look okay,
at?
So that, great, next question. I have a sandbox that I'm almost done building. And it basically is a web page that loads, and it has VizBug preloaded, so you don't have to have the extension to play. And it's a bunch of artboards. Well, it looks like artboards, but it's DOM, right? So anyway, I'm trying to continue the illusion, and each artboard is a little task that would teach you a feature about the tool. So it's like I created nice. These little – most of them are visually annoying because I'm like, okay, I need to tap into that designer OCD so that they're compelled to try to change the artboard. So there's like things like the stoplight. There's red, green, yellow, and they're out of order. And I'm like, you got to make those in order, right? Isn't that just bug your brain? And so that's a lesson
it's
with
like
the move
a
tool.
Tutorial.
It's like a tutorial.
You know,
yeah.
I will say, like, you know, I learned Flexbox through Flexbox Froggy.
Yeah.
And there's that CSS Grid
yes!
zombie game. They're all
those
super
so
great tools for learning. I'll also say for VizBug, like your keyboard master list, I refer to that a bunch because for me it was hard to memorize the keyboard commands. So that was the other like hot doc, I guess.
It was a hot doc.
Something I really like about it too is when you hover over the items in the toolbar, it tells you what they are and how to interact with them using your keyboard, which is a great UI pattern. So like,
thank you.
You learn as you go. You don't have to have a tutorial. Like, you don't have to read the documentation. You can kind of figure it out. And then for these more advanced things, like dragging the image, I feel like, well, I guess podcasts are way
like you're
about
it. Yeah, and videos are coming and articles. Yeah. So I'm going to write some articles that are like, here's use cases for various professions because it's not just designers. It gets really crazy. I mean, you could be an 8-year-old student and use this to your advantage. All the way up to... yeah, videos. So I really want to saturate with examples. So I don't want to. So the keyboard list was easy to output, but I want to show you. Like, let's get some business done, right? I don't want to be like you can drag in images. Yeah. I want to be like, no, let's go to this page. We've got a new product, and we need to try it out, right? It's like so we're going to be task oriented, and we'll just learn some tools along the way. Yeah, it does so many things, and it is so weird. I need to get out there more and tell people. I think show people. The demo was huge. Yeah. Everyone's like, holy crap, the demo. In 10 seconds, they're like, I know what this does. It's great.
Because as soon as you use it, you see the value in it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, for me, dragging images in is a big deal because I work in media where you're constantly testing out what the aesthetic of an article looks like, and visuals are a big part of that. Like, typography is a big part of that. Like, all these things that this tool gives us the power to manipulate it is just so nice for that workflow, the developer designer workflow. It gives the designer so much power, and I love that
power.
Yeah, so we'll definitely link the timestamp of your talk on the keynote because I think you went through a bunch of these, which definitely for me made it super real. So that'll be a great resource for anyone trying to dive into a VizBug right away.
Perfect, thank you.
I'm curious, how did you build this, and like what was your starting off point? Like, what was your
good
process?
Question. So just straight up, it's built with web components. There's one dependency. It's called Hotkey.js, and I should probably get rid of it because it's some of the only baggage in the application right now. It's ES6 all over the place, vanilla.js. It's being bundled with Rollup because I have some node dependencies. Otherwise, it's like super basic. CSS next with post-CSS is the way the CSS works. And that one's kind of cool, like compiles the CSS4, you could think of it, and returns a string for me to use in my web component. But it's just web components. At the end of the day, it's like, okay, think about font size, right? Like, I made it so that when you hit up on your keyboard, it ups the font size of the things you have selected. That's just query selector. So I do like a query selector on what you have selected, and then I write this functional loop that just says for each item, look at what was pressed on the keyboard, determine whether it should go up or down, and which property should it be manipulating. And at the end, it just says element.style.parameters. And that's it. The whole thing is literally like the code we write all day and every day. I just made it so it's abstracted from the user and that the user gets to use these mental models and paradigms they're kind of used to. And then they get results that are hopefully close to what they expect.
Have you written a Chrome extension before?
I have not. Nope.
Ah, what was the experience like diving into
that? Oh, that was really weird. There's all these weird little environments that you're in. So there's this content script concept, the background script, all this crap. And really what was interesting about Vizbug is it's a web component, and really you can put it on any page. I haven't published the NPM component yet. I need to. It's like practically ready so that you could use it anywhere. But I just needed to get it on the page. I was like, okay, I just need it. Stick it right there. And it ended up being really hard because I did ES6 work, and then I needed some special access to the DOM. And so there's some weird scripts. If you go look, there's like the plugin loads because you hit the button, right? You hit the button that looks like a bug, right? Yeah. Okay, so that says, is Vizbug loaded on the page? If it is not, then load all of its dependency scripts and then run a script called inject, which basically says document.body append child tool palette, which is the name of the custom element. And that's it. If you hit the button again, it goes, hey, kill that tool palette. You hit the button again, it goes, put the tool palette back in. That's how it works. And the web component's really good about when it gets detached and cleaning up its mess. All the listeners and all the other poo-poo it might leave behind.
Very, very cool. Now, I know you have a bunch of issues about this, but, you know, in the next 6 months, what are, like, the cool things you want to add to Vizbug?
Oh, man. Okay, so let's talk about some of the accessibility ones. There's a plugin system. I've already got POCs working. I even have some Lighthouse integration. But consider this.
Okay.
Did you guys use Alfred?
I use Alfred, yes.
Used to, right? Right. Okay, so now we're all, like, slash command happy, right?
Yeah, I feel like there's not really a good reason for me to use it that I don't have other alternatives for.
Alfred, like, prioritizes the results better than Spotlight does, at least from my experience. Anyways.
Dude, anyway, the idea is that you got this, like, search bar that could do computations and could also query things. And so there's a search bar in Vizbug, which is a really cool thing to talk about at just another time. It's basically programmatic selection. But we have proof of concepts where you can do, like, a slash command. And so consider this, slash translate space German.
Ooh.
Or how about this?
Wow. That's a cool idea.
It's all these, you all could these do people so kept much, coming to
me. You could do so much testing that way. Internationalization, like, that's so cool.
And you can do things like put a focus ring around every focusable element. So in one moment, I could see every accessible node that you might tap to. There's another request, which is people use pesticide.io, which is like it just goes through the whole DOM and shows you the boxes of your CSS, right? It gets rid of all styles, and they're just outlines. Boom. You say slash pesticide. Page turns into all outline mode. You could say pesticide off and restore the page to where it was. So
we could write commands that we can then use in Vizbug. It becomes like a system.
Yes, I'm just like...
Like Alfred workflows.
It's
that'd
like Alfred.
So cool.
It's like, look, you register a string that someone's going to write, and when they write it, I'll call your freaking function. It's like piece of cake. I'll pass you the DOM.
That's so cool.
You know,
I love
you that. Do. So that I'm really excited about that. And then I'm super excited about some of the stuff we're going to do to get past copying and pasting strings. We are very concerned and we really want to make it better. And there is a mind blowing potential that in 6 months you might hear about. So I'll just leave that right there. Just let it sizzle. I don't know.
Coming at you next
workspaces.
Summer.
Okay,
workspaces is being chatted about a little bit. Yeah.
very excited.
It's really cool. It's since this thing isn't quite in the dev tools, it can move really, really fast. But the good news is that what Vizbug is doing is planned to directly influence the dev tools. And so we...
So is it going to be like... Okay, that makes sense. I mean, cool. I remember a while ago when SAS was the thing that everyone used, source maps was really big, where people would like map their CSS to the dev tools and it would just write on top of that, which I liked sometimes. I felt like it was also problematic because, you know, you saved something and you're like, oh shoot, I didn't mean to save that sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But is that kind of like what you're thinking with source maps, kind of rolling up to your files?
I can't talk about it, but let's just say it would solve all your problems. It would actually I can't even give you a hint. I want to so bad. No, it's way better than you could even think of right now. Like we stumbled upon it.
Wow,
we were like,
I love that teaser.
That'll be the title of the show. Way better than you can even imagine.
You can even think of, like, imagine the best case scenario. It's better than that.
Let's just say this, the concept of, so the limitation right now of it being ephemeral would be gone.
Yeah. Ooh, okay. That would be very cool. So would you have
like
a guy?
How excited
you
are about
save a state and send it to somebody else? That'd be okay. Anyway,
it's that plus plus. It's that plus plus. Like that's
okay.
That's part of it. Okay. Yes. So excited. Must not talk more. Ask me another question.
Okay. He's like bursting out of his cereal. Okay. So I like to sort of wrap up the show by asking if somebody was to get started with this, where should we point them to? What should they do? If they wanted to contribute, where should they
go? Yes, go to GitHub. So there's a lot of issues, but there are a lot of features, and they're really exciting. Some of those features are 5-10 minutes of work, and they're just adding up, and I can't quite get to them all. My biggest thing, I want designers in GitHub. Please, I implore you, visit that site. I don't want you to fork the code. I want you to create an issue and dream. I want you to go dream in the issues and say, this would make me so happy. I have this problem. Can you solve it? And watch as the community solves it for you. I think it would really expand your mind into what open source is. I want open source to be something designers can enjoy too. It's sad. We've got all the tools. We get them all for free, and designers have to go pay for their dinky sips, and they have to pay monthly for their cloud subscriptions, right? And we get all our for free.
It's a real problem. I agree with you.
So anyway, go to GitHub because this is open source. It is free. It's by you, for you. It's the first, I think, that designers can shape your own thing. Oh, man, that just reminded me of like 5 cool features.
All right, quick, okay. Go.
So the guides tool, you hover and you get really cool grid lines. So what if you click one and as you hover on another one, you get distance between. So it's just, again, that concept. Oh, and then furthermore, if you hover on something that's a
so
set.
You don't have to do red lines.
No red lines. That's exactly it. I want to red line for you. And there's even a branch I have that's called Second Screen, which does create a design tab in the DevTools. And it makes it so you can right click and inspect with VisBug. And it would open up to the design tab for you. In that design tab, I want to green line and red line for you, among other things. So think of like a second screen experience. We have like distance. There's concepts of the whole body of the document turning into an artboard that you could zoom out, rotate, scale. Like, think about how much fun and satisfying it is as a designer to scale out on Sketch, look at your 6 artboards, zoom in on one, you know, go fiddle with it, zoom back out. Like, I want that ability. I want you to be able to zoom out and see
wow,
your whole page.
So cool.
Anyway, so I'm talking.
So you can like duplicate the pages in artboard and then create your iteration next.
That's another
to it.
Feature. Okay, here's a feature. You can do this today. This is so rad. Okay, you go to bootstrap.com or actually go to Tailwind. Anywhere that there's like good component-based HTML. Open up the same tab in 2 places. And in 1 tab, I want you to launch VisBug and delete the whole DOM. Just delete it till it's blank. Then in the other tab, I want you to highlight a really cool component. Hit Command-C. I want you to go back to that blank tab and hit paste and watch.
What?
Yes, you can use prod as a sticker sheet. It works. It's so cool. So anyway, you can also copy and paste styles, and that's a cool thing too. But anyway.
God, the show just keeps getting better and better. That's so cool. Are there any other features you want to think about or things to shout out to anyone listening to the show?
No, you all are so cool. Thanks for having me on. This is, oh man, I sang on the ukulele. That was so cool.
it was such a joy, a true joy to have you on the show. I love your sense about getting more designers involved in open source. I feel like that is such an opportunity that we have to grow this tech community. So I would love to see more of that. I think this tool is a really great tool that bridges the workflow challenge that we have right now from design to development. Like, we're all just building things, but for some reason there's still that gap in infrastructure for building those things with. So I'm super, super excited about this. I'm excited to see where it goes. I do want to say thank you to our listeners for listening to the show. I want to say thank you to our sponsor, Datadog. Remember that Datadog is offering listeners a free trial and a free t-shirt. You can go to datadog.com/toolsday. That's datadog.com/toolsday to get your free t-shirt. datadog.com/toolsday. I also want to say a big thank you to Webflow, who has been supporting us on Patreon. Asks us not to read an ad up, but we really appreciate you, and we appreciate you listeners. The best way you can support our show is to tell your friends about it or to rate and review it on iTunes or however you listen to podcasts. That's how people hear about the show. And that's all we have for you. We'll have all the links in the show notes. Adam, how can people follow you on Twitter?
I'm ArgyleInc on Twitter. That's INK, not INC. Follow me.
ArgyleInc. Like writing with. Awesome. Thank you again for coming on the show. This was such a pleasure, and we'll see you all next time.
Thank you.
Bye.